A lot of activity in Flowery Branch this week, for sure.
There's been a lot going on. We got to talk to all the coaches and coordinators this week. And I wanted to drill down a little bit more on something we were talking about yesterday, Stake, which was Jeff Ulbrich kind of talking about how to combat these modern offenses, especially given how much they're changing, even week to week sometimes. And he would say it better than I would. And he's got a cool story about Kyle Shanahan here. So let's hear Ulbrich.
We used to have playbooks. You know, we used to have hard-bound playbooks. And I remember when I got to the 49ers in 2000, they gave me this book that was that thick. And I was like, oh, my gosh. I remember calling my wife and being like, this is going to be a short stay. I'm not going to be able to pick all this up, you know. And those days are gone. I saw it in 2015 when I had Kyle Shanahan coming into my office all the time, like, okay, what is the buzz player taught here? What is the weak hook player taught here? What is the read corner taught here? He was going to that place of, rather than his dad's book of like, I'm playing a cover three team, here's my three beaters. He was like, all right, what are your rules in cover three?
Yeah.
And he wanted to learn all the rules. And then it was like, I'm going to beat you in a way you've never been beaten.
So that's the way these modern offenses are trying to scheme up, you know, how to win, basically. And, you know, they can be exotic. They can be, you know, these designer plays that are, like, specifically against certain opponents. And that's what these defensive coordinators are really trying to combat now. And and Ulbrich lays it out here in another clip, those the last one we'll play, where he basically describes that there's two ways to go about it.
It makes it way more difficult for us, but that's where I always go, like, there's two ways to approach that. Defensively, I can say, I'm just going to throw chaos back at you, and some people do that, and that works for a lot of people, but I don't feel good about that. Like, the ex-player in me wants to, like, when a player comes to the sideline, if we got beat, like, I need to give him an explanation, exactly what happened and how we fix it, period. And if I can't do that, that's a fireable offense, as far as I'm concerned. And if I'm just throwing chaos at you, I can't give you the answer all the time, because I don't necessarily know what the answer is. So they get more complex, in my opinion, we get simpler.
So what does that mean, chaos? Does that mean throwing blitzes, you know, having corners come? Having, you know, putting five,
confusion.
Six, right?
Exactly. Confusion, blitzes, confusion. These exotic
and
coverage.
And he's saying
schemes.
That's not the way to beat sophisticated offenses.
I think that's not the way that he prefers to play. In fact, this lines up with something that he was saying shortly after the draft, which is, and I think it's kind of a humbling statement from a defensive coordinator, but he said, you look around the best defenses in the NFL, they're just the ones that win their one-on-one matchups most of the time. If you look at the Baltimore Ravens, they win up front. That's why they're good.
You know what I call that? Out-athleting someone.
Yeah. Well, think about the advantage.
Jalen Carter,
when you rush,
an interior,
when you
is a better athlete than a guy in front of him.
When you're rushing four guys, getting home with four, or when you have an interior guy. So remember what happens when you're rushing on the interior, come on right up the middle. You're immediately getting the quarterback off his spot. And if you're doing that with three or four guys, because, you know, listen, obviously – you're putting yourself in a very vulnerable position if you think you're going to keep running these creative blitz schemes, which really is kind of a desperation move, right? Yeah. The Eagles didn't have to do that.
Yeah, and I think that this is what frustrated some of the Falcons players last year in Jimmy Lake's scheme is that the players feel like they can't play as fast as they want to. They can't just react to what's in front of them like they want to when you have this complicated rule set that they're thinking about following. And so I think Ulbrich and something that he's trying to bring to this defense is a more simplified version of it. So these players can just go out and not think.
Yeah, just be solid.
Yeah.
Right? My vision of the Falcons defense, honestly, from last year, Rusty and Joe, is just these bizarre big plays of our corners getting spun around.
Couldn't get off the field. Couldn't get off the field on third down.
Well, just the Sam Darnold game, where for every Jesse Bates moment, there was the rest of that secondary just like running backwards, falling down, giving up 40, 50-yard plays against, you know, J.J. McCarthy, what he did to them, what Bryce Young did to them, what Sam Darnold. These are not – that's not Joe Burrow and Josh Allen. Think about what we said. Those three guys – literally had a field day.
Yeah, down the stretch, it got ugly at times. You're totally right, Stake. And I think that, honestly, one of the other things that was frustrating was just how soft they were with the coverage schemes. And this team allowed the highest quarterback opponent's completion percentage in the NFL, which I think says a lot about
how we were 32nd.
Yeah, yes.
In the NFL.
Listen, we can all those numbers mean things, but when you don't have pass rush and that quarterback has time to process – you're going to get beat in the NFL.
Yeah. And how is he going to utilize, first of all, the two rookie first-rounders? How are they going to be utilized? Mm-hmm. How many snaps are we talking about, right?
Yeah.
What can you expect from them? And then is there, and you tell me.
Leonard Floyd.
Leonard Floyd, right? Mm-hmm. Is there somebody that starts to emerge on the defense that has been here, that's a high draft pick, that is up front for us on the defensive side, that you go, well, that's kind of what we've been waiting for.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And this response from Ulbrich was where I had asked him about comments that Ben Johnson had made, saying that in the past, the best predictor of who was going to win a game was turnover margin. Turnovers were key, and now the biggest predictor of who's going to win a given game is whichever team has the highest passing EPA, which is basically whichever team passed the ball better. And to Rusty's point, how do you get a team to have worse passing numbers? You sack the quarterback. That's basically maybe the better indicator. Those teams, the team with the higher passing EPA in a given game wins 80% of the time.
Yeah, well, listen, it couldn't have ended worse on the defensive side. Listen, we're not on five national games because of what we think defensively.
No. They didn't look at James Pierce and Jalen Walker. Right. Let's get them guys on
right.
five. No,
and it's not that people don't think Jalen Walker can play. They're not worried about him. James Pierce definitely. 60 to 70% of folks will say that was a reach. I don't have a strong feeling either way, other than, you know, what Rusty, the guys you've talked to, said he is absolutely a problem.
Hell on wheels.
But we've got five national games for Michael Penix and Bijan and Drake London more than anything else. Those three guys. And has Bijan become now the face of the National Football League if we are a 10-win team, right?
Yeah.
10-11-win team.
Yeah, and that, you're totally right. That's why they got all these primetime games, is because they have this continuity on offense with these special players. And I think we haven't gotten to talk to the players yet, but I did ask Zach Robinson about this. I think that they feel like they have a point to prove, and they need to establish themselves on the national stage.
I mean, they've got real depth at the wide receiver position. I mean, we can talk all you want about Kyle Pitts. You know, it's kind of like the crazy girlfriend. It's like when they show you who they are, believe them, right? You know, she was fine at that dinner party a couple of times, but eventually they're going to go back to who they are. And who Kyle Pitts is, I'm sorry, is a guy that sometimes doesn't look like he's that passionate about the game of football.
Zach Robinson mentioned what he wants to see from Kyle is mastery of the offense, which, you know, in your fourth year, I think it's telling about where his head is at.
Fifth year. So, again, I'll say it till I'm blue in the face. Brock Bauer had the greatest rookie tight end year of all time, right? Has anybody ever had those numbers as a rookie? And who threw him the football?
Me.
For 17 games?
Me.
So please stop telling me that Kyle Pitts didn't have the right guy throwing him the ball. Brock Bauer's had Desmond Ridder. Now, no team in the NFL would ever start Desmond Ridder, right? Okay.